Welcome to the Finding Clarity podcast, featuring Dr. George Cannon. This podcast is a ministry of the Kerwinsville Christian Church. Finding Clarity seeks to answer your questions about Christianity. Here's George as he looks at this week's question.
Welcome to the Finding Clarity podcast. This is George Cannon, and you are listening to episode 155. The Finding Clarity podcast is a podcast ministry of the Kerwinsville Christian Church, where we seek to answer questions that you might have about Christianity and the Christian life. So it's possible that you're wrestling with a question, maybe concerning something that you've read in the scripture, or even maybe something possibly somebody has asked you, and you really don't have an answer for it. So what we try to do with this podcast is we try to look into the scripture and help you to understand what the scripture says concerning whatever issue it is that you are trying to face. And so today's question has to do with a portion of scripture that somebody is struggling with. So here's the question. What is the meaning of Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23? Now, let me read to you what that scripture portion says. In Matthew 7, which is from the Sermon on the Mount, verse 21, Jesus says this, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' Then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" There's a harshness to the words of Jesus concerning those who were doing great things for the Lord. Even in spite of all that they did, Jesus abruptly declares that he never knew them and called them workers of lawlessness. What does this passage mean, and what are the implications for those who call themselves Christians? Now, if we're going to examine this whole aspect of trying to understand what these few verses mean, we're going to have to approach it in a couple of ways. So first of all, we're going to talk about the greater context of Matthew 7. And then we're going to have to see that our religious works, the things that we, quote, do for the Lord, aren't enough. And then we're going to answer the question, how's that possible? And then we're going to look at implications. So that's how we're going to approach this question today. So let's begin. We're going to start with, first of all, the greater context of Matthew chapter 7. The first step in understanding the meaning of any passage is to look at the context of the passage. So when we look at any passage of Scripture, and in particular, we're looking at Matthew chapter 7 verses 21 through 23 here, even if we were looking at another passage, what we want to do is look at the context. Where was that statement made? What was the context of the passage in which we look at? That will help us to understand exactly what's being communicated. And so the context of this passage is found in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 27. There's an even greater context, which is the context of the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gave that's recorded in the Gospel of Matthew. But if we're going to look at these verses, 21 through 23, we need to look and see that it's part of a greater section of verses. So let me read to you those verses, including the portion that we are going to look at. Here's what Jesus said. "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, do many mighty works in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it was founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like the foolish man who built his house on sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. All right, so if we're going to look at what's happening here with verses 21 to 23, we need to look at the greater context. So in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 20, Jesus tells us how to know who people are by looking at the fruits of their life. So it's not just enough for anyone to say, well, I'm a good person, or in the context here, I'm saved, I'm a believer. You look at their life. What does their life produce? Does it produce fruit that's in keeping with who they are as a believer? Or does it produce fruit, the outcome of their life is reflective of their being an unbeliever? Then, of course, comes Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. We'll talk about that in a moment. But then the other context is just on the other side of that, is in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27, Jesus tells us how obedience to his words show the reality of who we are. So when we're looking at the context here, all of this has to do with the issue of who you really are and how that is reflected in your life. And what we see then is that Jesus is stressing to us in verses 21 through 23, that religious works are not enough. They're not enough. So here's a few points I want to point out here. So Jesus is pointing out that there are people who think they are saved and do religious actions. So simply because you're doing something religious doesn't mean you're saved. And he's trying to say that. He's trying to say that there are people who think they're okay with him. They're okay with God. And they're involved in religious actions. In fact, what's described here are pretty amazing actions. They prophesy, that is, proclaiming the word of God. They cast out demons. And they do other mighty works. And so these folks think because they're doing that, that they know Christ. So the problem is they really aren't saved. They just think they are. Did you catch that? These folks think they're okay with God. But Jesus is trying to point out to us that they really aren't. They're not okay, even though they're doing these things. And so what happens then is what he's telling us is in the time of the final judgment, Jesus will reject them. In the time of the final judgment, which we find all the way over in Revelation chapter 20, at the end of the chapter, the great white throne judgment, when all the books will be opened, all the deeds will be judged, and then whether somebody's name is found in the book of life will determine whether or not they will go on to be with the Lord forever in eternity. And the fact of the matter is these folks won't have their name in the book of life. God doesn't even know who they are. They think they know him, but he doesn't know who they are. Now, that raises the question, which is the next part I want to look at. How is this possible? How is it that there's going to be a group of people in the end who can stand before the Lord and say, Lord, didn't we do all these great things in your name? And he says to them, I don't even know who you are. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Now, how's it possible? Well, I've got several things I want you and I to think about. Here's the first one. These people have a misunderstanding about what it means to be saved. See, I think that's really at the heart of the issue. When we talk about being saved, we talk about being accepted by God and what allows us to be accepted by God. And so these folks had a wrong concept in their mind. So that brings up my next point. Salvation is more than just praying a prayer or being baptized. And what I mean by that is this. Sometimes we think that, okay, a lot of times, because maybe the gospel was presented to us as a child, and we hear the gospel, and then we are told by somebody, well, you just need to pray this prayer, and then you'll be okay. And we think that salvation was attained by praying a prayer, or you just need to be baptized, and so then you are baptized, or you need to do all these other things, and you will be okay with God. My friends, salvation is a lot more than that. That's not even salvation. That's something you've done. You've prayed a prayer. You've been baptized. Salvation has nothing to do with us. So here's what salvation is. Salvation is recognizing who Jesus really is, what he's done for us on the cross, and committing your life to follow him. Now let's take each one of those, okay? So first of all, it's recognizing who he is. That is, you understand he's God. You understand he is it. He's the supreme. He is the one, the ultimate. And you believe in him. You put your trust in him. Because what he did for you is he died on the cross for you so that you might have forgiveness, because you couldn't take care of it on your own. He did it all for you. And so you put your faith there. And then what you do then is, because you realize who he is and what he's done for you, you commit your life to follow him. You say, Lord, I will follow you. I will give you my life. You will be my Lord. You will be my Savior. Now, you maybe have used other words in spite of that, but that's really at the heart of it, is you decide to follow him. Now, sadly, there are many who falsely think they're okay with God because of their religious activities. They think they're okay with God because they do all the right things. They give, they read their Bibles, they go to church. They maybe think they're okay because somebody has told them they're okay. Well, I remember when you prayed. Yeah, no, folks, that's not really the basis for whether or not somebody is saved. Nobody knows whether you are not saved or not. Only you do. So here's the implications. The abruptness of Jesus' words should cause us to reflect on what we are trusting in for our salvation. Do you understand what I'm saying? The abruptness. So we understand, man, that's why we got this question. These are pretty harsh verses. What is Jesus trying to get across here? Well, it should cause us to stop and to think about, what is it that I am trusting in? Is it I'm trusting in a prayer? Am I trusting in baptism? Is it the experiences that I've, quote, experienced as, quote, a Christian? Or is it simply faith? Simply faith. Those are things that you and I have to wrestle with. And if it's something other than simply faith, then, my friends, we need to pause for a moment and really reflect. Here's the second implication. Jesus' words stress the importance of the intimate relationship that believers have with him. See, remember what he said, "Depart from me, I never knew you." That means that Jesus didn't have any kind of relationship with them. And so these words are stressing how important it is for you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, to have a relationship with him. Now, so when we look at these verses, I actually view these as the scariest verses in the whole Bible. But when we look at these verses, they should cause us to pause for a moment. What am I trusting in? And do I have that intimate relationship with him that only comes through faith in Christ? Because I'm trusting in who he is and I've decided to follow him. That, my friends, is what you and I need to think when we read these verses. The Finding Clarity podcast is really just an opportunity to answer questions that you might have. You might be saying, well, George, I've got some questions. How do I get them to you? Well, there are several ways that you could let us know. If you're on Facebook, you can direct message us through our Facebook page, just simply facebook.com/Kerwinsville Christian Church. You can go to our webpage, which is kerwinsvillechristian.org. Go to the contact section, and you can send us a message through there. You could talk to me in a service and say, hey, George, I have a question, or simply write down a question, put it in an offering box. It'll make its way to me. But we want to take this opportunity to answer questions that you have. Also, I want to make you aware that you can go back and look at any of the other 154 questions that we've already answered here on the podcast by simply going to our webpage. Go to the media section, scroll to the bottom. You will see where it says Finding Clarity Podcast. If you click there, you can find an option there to basically look up questions that have already been answered by the topic. And we would encourage you to do that. We're trusting that you'll have a great week, and we hope that you will listen the next time. Take care.